Amen. I'm going to preach from up here today because we're a little bit of a smaller crowd. And I don't want to be that far away from you guys because I love you that much. You could probably turn me down just a touch, though, Jeffrey. I'm a little echoey and screechy. All right. Well, keep your eyes and ears open. Coming up here in the next month or two, we're going to be making some changes at Pathway. Not exactly sure what direction we're going yet, but we've got some options that we're looking at, and we're praying and we're looking for God's direction. So be praying along with us, okay? That we would be where God wants us to be. You know what I mean? We started a series a few weeks ago called Restoration. We're looking at those different areas of our lives that tend to break down over time. Those areas of our lives where just because life happens to you, it tends to wear you down. And it tends to beat you up. And you have to take some time sometimes to step back and just rebuild those areas of your life that are starting to falter. They're starting to fall apart. A lot of people, when they go to the beach, they like to build sandcastles, right? We don't have any beaches here, but, I used to live in California. And I actually used to work in Santa Monica, in the office building. I was working on overlooked Santa Monica Pier and the beach there. They used to shoot Baywatch out on the sand there. It was really cool. But a lot of people, when they go to the beach, they like to build sandcastles, right? And that's not me. When I go to the beach, instead of building sandcastles, I like to dig sand holes, And when you dig a sand hole, you've got to dig the hole down close to the water. Even when you're building a sandcastle, too, you've got to build it down closer to where the water is, right? Because if you have dry sand that you're trying to build with, it's just going to fall apart. It's not going to stick together the way that you want it to, right? You need sand that has a little bit of wetness to it, a little bit of mud, a little bit of water in it to help it stick together. And it's the same way with a hole. Because if you dig a hole out on the, far away from where the water is in the sand, as much sand as you're digging out of the hole, that much sand is running back down into it down the sides. So you can't really dig a good hole up the beach. You got to go down by where the water is and dig your hole down there. But if you're not careful, the waves come in, right? The waves come in and fill your hole with water. They will, if you would build in a sandcastle, they'll tear your sandcastle down, right? So what I used to do is when I was digging these holes down by the water, I would build kind of a dam, a wall out, on the water side of my hole so that the water would run up against this wall and then get pushed back and not fill in my hole and not knock dirt and sand into my hole. My hole would, I could just keep digging without having to worry about stuff coming into it. But over time, as you sit there and you're digging this hole and you have this wall that's blocking the water, every time a wave hits that wall, it erodes it a little bit, right? It breaks it down a little bit. It takes a little bit of the wall and drags it out to sea. So as you're digging this sand hole, you've got to, at the same time, be reinforcing this wall that you've built. You've got to continue to rebuild it, restore it, and so that it can continue to block those waves from coming in and blowing away what you've built. It's the same way with our own lives, right? We have these areas of our lives that as life hits us, as we come through these storms in our lives, and as the waves of life beat up against us, certain areas of our lives start to wear down. We talked a few weeks ago about joy. And how important it is to keep the joy in our lives. Not necessarily happiness. You're not always going to be happy. But you can always have joy in your life. And we talked last week about the power of prayer. And how important that is to keep that in our lives. To continue to rebuild and reignite our faith in the power of prayer. And this morning, I want to talk to you about intimacy, restoring intimacy with our Savior. Because it's so easy as life happens to us. Life is a series of ups and downs. It's like a roller coaster, right? And when you're up, you feel really, really close to God. You feel like God's right there. You can reach out and touch Him. And then there are times in your life where you look around and you say, where is God in this? Where is God right now? And it's in those times that you've got to restore that intimacy with Him. You've got to build your way back up to that spiritual high where you can reach out and touch Him. You've got to restore that intimacy in your life. And as we look at intimacy this morning, I want to look at some of the characteristics of other relationships that we have in our lives that God draws parallels with for our relationship with Him. And at the same time, not any one of these human relationship types is exactly the same as our relationship with God. We have a really, really unique relationship with God because He's our Creator. It's a relationship between Creator and creation. It's not just a normal relationship that we have with other people. But let's look at these different kinds of relationships as we look at intimacy this morning. And the first thing you can write down on your note sheet is that in Scripture, God refers to Himself as our Father. And when Jesus was teaching His disciples how to pray, how did He start it? Our Father in heaven. And that's the relationship that God wants to have with us. In John chapter 1, in verse 12, it says, 12 and 13, it says, yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, in Jesus' name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. This is the born again that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about. This is the relationship that is the parable that Jesus told about if a son comes to his father and asks for a fish, you know, will he give him a stone instead? You know, no, God is our Father. He wants to take care of us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to have that kind of relationship with us. And if I believe in Jesus, then God tells me that I'm His child. And if you believe in Jesus, God tells you that you are a child of God. He's your Father. Just like with most parent-child relationships, there are issues that come up, right? There's disagreements, there's discipline, there's ups and downs, you know? I have a cousin who I used to visit down in Southern California, and there was a time when I was over at his house visiting. He was a teenager at the time, and I was over at his house visiting. He got into this fight with his mom. His mom asked him to do something, and he talked back and said no, he wasn't going to do it, and they started getting in the shouting match, right? And all of a sudden, his mom picks up a wooden spoon off the counter. You know, they were in the kitchen fighting, like she was going to put him over her knee and spank him, you know? So he saw this, and he grabbed another wooden spoon off the counter. And they got into kind of a sword fight kind of a thing, and it turned into actually something kind of fun. But, you know, between parents and kids, those of you that have kids that are grown, you know that parenting isn't easy. That relationship there is very tricky. You know, I'm learning that myself. Abby's 7 years old, you know, going on 19, and she drives me crazy sometimes. But I'm sure that there's a lot more to come. Those of you with older kids, I'm sure, can tell me all kinds of stories. But sometimes that relationship between parents and children, it starts to break down. And it needs to be restored. And it's the same way in our relationship with God. God is our Father. Sometimes we don't like the direction that He gives us. Sometimes we don't like the discipline that comes down from our Father. But at the same time, He's our Daddy. And we have that special relationship with Him as a parent and a child. And to restore those things, to restore that relationship, we've got to be active. We can't be passive. We've got to take action to get back to that level of intimacy with our Heavenly Father. Also in Scripture, the second thing you can write down is that God refers to Himself as our husband. In Isaiah 54:5, it says, "For your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is His name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth." Back on Valentine's Day, back in February this year, I talked about a little bit about the Song of Solomon and about how that is God's love letter to us as His Valentine. You know, if you've never read through Song of Solomon, read through that as God's love letter to you. It's really special. And he looks at us as that He is our husband. And just like a man and a woman in a marriage, there are some times when you feel closer to your spouse than at other times, right? Marriages have their ups and downs, that marriage relationship. You've got to work at it. You've got to work at a marriage to make it work. The third thing is in Scripture, God refers to Himself as our friend. John 15:13-15, He says, Jesus said this, He said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." A couple things I want you to notice out of these three verses here. First of all, notice that first line, "Greater love is no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." Jesus died for me because I'm His friend. Jesus died for you because you're His friend. He doesn't just love you. He likes you. You know, we have to love our kids, right? We don't have to like them, but we gotta love them. But God doesn't just love us, He likes us. He likes you. It's not just a relationship between an artist and his painting. You know, somebody who makes something and the thing that he makes. That's not what it is. It's an intimate relationship. The other thing I want you to notice is says everything, "I called you friends because everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you." That's knowledge transfer. When you're friends with somebody, you know everything about them. You know? You know their likes and dislikes. You know their hobbies. You know their families and their friends. You know their personality. And God not only knows all that about us, but He's given us everything about Him. It's not a one-way street. He's given us all this knowledge. He's given us the game plan right here in the Bible. He's our friend. And it's not just knowledge either. because of the Holy Spirit inside of us, we also have empathy. We have feeling. We have emotion that goes along with that knowledge. We sing often on Sundays, we sing a song called "I'm a Friend of God," right? Do we really get what that means? We're not just talking about a buddy, you know, somebody we knew in high school 20 years ago and somebody who keeps an eye on our Facebook status to see what we've been up to, you know. No, this is somebody who wants to be your best friend. They want to know everything about you. This is someone who would give his life for you. And he did. He already did. It's much like the parent-child relationship or the marriage relationship or the friendship relationship. Any kind of those relationships, they take work. They take effort to maintain them, right? You have to cultivate it. You have to work at it. You have to put time and energy into it. If you let down your end, then it all falls apart, right? If you're married and you just give up and you just come home from work and you just sit on the couch and don't talk to your wife or husband at all, and you're just sitting there, watch TV, get up, go to bed. I'll tell you what, I would much rather see a marriage where there is fighting and yelling and screaming than one where there is just coldness. Because if there's fighting and yelling and screaming, that means they still care. Right? It's when things get cold and blank, that's when the warning alarms go off. That's when you're in danger. That's the same way in our relationship with God. Like I said, we don't have to like what He tells us to do. We don't have to like the discipline coming down. I've said in the past, it's okay to yell at God and express yourself, communicate. He wants us to communicate. It's when you let down your end completely and just shut down. That's when it all falls apart. So a few things that you can do to restore that intimacy in your life with your Savior. The first thing, they both have to do with time. First of all, the quantity of time. You've got to talk to God every day. Spend time alone with God every day. You got to make that a priority. Jesus, He slipped away daily to spend time with His Father, no matter what His crazy schedule looked like, and He was busier than any of us will ever be in our lives. And He still made it a priority to spend time with His Father. We need to look at that example and apply it to our own lives and set aside time every day when we can just be with God. No matter what. How healthy would a marriage be if you never saw your spouse? There are some marriages out there where the husband works a night shift and the wife works a day shift. I know you guys were in that situation in California, right? And you have to really work at it. You know, Jonathan worked for a newspaper and he worked at night. And if you're in that situation, you really got to work at your marriage. You've got to plan. You got to schedule time when you guys are both awake and you guys are both, not at work, to be together And if you don't do that, if you never see your spouse, your marriage is in real danger. My wife Jackie's brother in Sacramento. His name is Lance, and he works night shifts at Safeway. And his wife Stacy, before she had some surgeries and had to stop working for a while, she was working at the mall during the day, at the Disney store. And so it was really hard on them. They had two teenage kids too, so that just kind of threw a whole other wrench into the thing. But it was really, really hard for them to, work on their marriage because they hardly ever saw each other. They had to, like I said, schedule that time together when they could just be together. It was just a meal somewhere, just a sit down and watch a TV show together, anything. Just spending time together is so critical, that quantity of time. And same with instant messaging. No, texting doesn't count. Sorry. Yeah. And same with parents and their kids. If you never see your kids, how do you know what they're up to? How do you know what they're going through in their lives? How can you help them through the things that they're facing in their everyday lives? You got to spend time together. And we talked about friends. If all you know about your friends is what you read on their Facebook status, then you're probably not as close with them as you were in the past. We need to spend time with our Savior every day. Every day. So that we can restore that intimacy in our relationship with Him. It's critical. Make it a priority. There's quantity of time. Also, the other critical thing is quality of time. Alone time. We call our time with God tag time, right? Time alone with God. Tag. Alone. Just you and Him. Just you and your Savior. In every relationship, there are special occasions, right? Especially like marriages, right? You have anniversaries. You have birthdays, you have these special occasions that you guys celebrate as a family, right? And it's so critical to take opportunities when those celebrations come up to get away and do something special. Spend some quality time together, not just sitting on the couch watching TV, not husband on the computer and the wife, dusting or whatever, I don't know. It's quality time. Together, Jackie and I, at the beginning of September, we had our 10-year wedding anniversary, and we did something special. We got found somebody to take the kids for the night, and we went to the resort at Dove Mountain for Friday night, and just kind of spent the night away, just me and her, quality time. You got to do something special. And it wasn't like we went on a 2-week cruise or something like that. It wasn't like we went far. We didn't drive to California or Florida or anything like that. It was right around the corner, right down the road. But it was special. It was special. It's important to have a special time with your Savior. Our friends, parents and kids, they need the quality time too. I can come home from work every night and just plop down on the couch and watch TV. I'm fine with that. Kids can be running around crazy. I'm fine. But I need to make an effort to actually spend some quality time with my kids. I mentioned last week they're really into computer games right now, so I'll sit down at the computer with them and play some games with them, spend some one-on-one time with each of them. go for a bike ride. That special quality time, just me and them. Make them feel special. Not just being present when they're present. And it's the same with our relationship with God. We've got to take action, make an effort to take some special time away to cultivate that relationship with God and revitalize it, restore it. Some special time with no distractions, you know, just you and Him. So that's my challenge to you this week. I'm going to give you a challenge this week. And some of you are already doing this, and that's great. You're already past the challenge. But I want you to find an hour this week. Set aside an hour out of your schedule this week where you can just spend some time one-on-one with your Savior. No distractions. No kids, no TV, no radio, no watching other cars on the road, doing it while you're driving doesn't count because you're distracted, trying not to crash. Find an hour this week to just spend some time with God, just you and Him, just talk to Him. Read His Word. Hear what He has to say. Listen. And as you do that, you're going to find that that intimacy that maybe has started to drift out of your life just because life happens, that can be restored. While you guys were praying for me up here, the words that came to my mind were, "Break my heart." And that's usually not something you want to have done to you by your spouse or by your kids or by your best friend. But that's my prayer for me. Is, God, break my heart. If I've got any hardness in me, if I've got any area of my life that needs to be broken down, do it. If there's anything that's keeping me from having that intimate relationship, break my heart, God. Right.
Break out the glass.
Okay. Yeah. So take my challenge this week. Find an hour. Restore that intimacy with God. And watch what He does. He wants to do something amazing in you. And if that takes breaking your heart, and be willing to go there. Be willing to Let that happen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. Lord, we just because life happens to us, Lord, sometimes we start to drift away from you and things aren't as close. We're not as close to you as we once were. Lord, restore that. Restore that intimacy with you. Lord, we need you to be our Father. We need you to be our spouse. We need you to be our best friend. Restore that intimacy, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.